Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And we do this because there are toxic chemicals all around us, in all kinds of consumer products, even in our bodies from past exposure. But there are things that we can do about it. We can reduce our exposures in many ways. We can remove toxic chemicals from our bodies, and talking about these positive things that we can do is what we do here on this show to empower all of you to live a toxic-free life. Before we get started with our topic today, which is going to be raising chickens for fun and food in your own backyard, I want to tell you about a movie I went to last night. I went to see The Butler, which is a wonderful, wonderful movie, and I really encourage all of you to see it for its entertainment value, if nothing else. But the reason that I want to talk about it today is because it's about the civil rights movement and what happened, what people did. You get to see behind the scenes in one family's life during the period of the civil rights movement and what happened, what people did in order to gain civil rights for black people. And if you're younger than I am, you may not have lived through this period in the 1960s when this was going on. And if so, you absolutely should see this film so you know what happened. Because there was a time in my lifetime when black people could not drink from the same water fountain as white people. They could not be served in restaurants in the same tables that white people ate at. I mean, they had their own sections of the restaurant. And they couldn't vote. They didn't have basic human rights. And yet now they do. And it's so common that some of you who are younger than I am don't even remember or know that there was a time not so long ago when black people didn't have these rights. And I bring this up today because it's kind of the same thing with toxics. We have a right to not be poisoned every day. And we are being poisoned every day. We're being poisoned by toxic chemicals all around us. Unless we do something specific, unless we educate ourselves, unless we make certain choices to minimize our toxic exposure and to support our bodies in positive ways that build our health. But we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these are inalienable rights, not granted to us by the government, but granted to us by life, that we have the right to have health and be alive and be productive and be able to do anything we want to do with our lives. And if we don't have that, we have the opportunity to fight for that, just like people have fought for other rights. There was a time when women didn't have the vote. And it wasn't so long ago. It was only maybe like 100 years ago when women were fighting for the vote. And now what we need to be fighting for is our right to live a toxic-free life. So I was very inspired by this film last night because I got to see everything from the beginning of the whole civil rights movement when the characters were working in the cotton fields to everything that happened all the way to through a black man being elected president, which was a big victory for them and a big change. And that happened within the span of a lifetime, within my lifetime since I was born. And we can do that too. Other changes can be made. We can stand up and say no toxic chemicals so that we're not living in this world where unless we do something to remove toxic chemicals, then we're going to be exposed. And so we still should be doing everything that we should. But I want you to know this is a great example to see what kind of change can happen in the world. Inspiring, inspiring film. The Butler, I really recommend it. Okay, so now we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about raising backyard chickens, which is a wonderful thing to do. My guest today is Sarah Griffin Bubakar. She's the retail store manager for Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. And they're at groworganic.com. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you great.
Good. I can hear you great too.
Okay.
So Sarah, let's start by tell me how you got interested. You personally got interested in organic gardening and specifically chickens, and also a little about the history of Peaceful Valley Farm Supply, Farm and Garden Supply as a business.
Okay, yeah. Well, personally, after college, I went and worked on an organic farm in Hawaii. It was a great opportunity and really, really nice. It was a organic fruit farm and a coffee farm, and it was beautiful, of course.
Yeah.
And we had chickens there, and so I was exposed to them. That was the first time I'd ever really raised chickens. And I loved their personalities, and they're so easy, and loved the fresh eggs. We were all vegetarians at that time, so we just, the eggs were the the feature there. But, yeah, and so I got interested in them at that point, and then from there I have my own flock now and have had for quite a few years now, and I'm totally hooked.
I completely understand. I had chickens too, and I would still have them, but one day the police came and said they were going to take them away if I didn't do something to remove them myself. I know, it is, but here, if you can imagine this, in the year 2013 in the United States of America, there is a city in Florida that has an ordinance that says you can't have chickens. I don't know what century they're living in.
I just don't see why. What the argument could be against chickens. Roosters, I don't understand. But
I don't either. But anyway, fortunately, I got these chickens from a friend of mine who lives outside the city limits in the county, where in the county of Pinellas, you can have chickens in county land. You just can't have them in this particular city, which happens to be in Pinellas County.
Well, so I think your listeners would be interested to know that there are lots of cities in the country, including, I mean, where I live in California, I mean, San Francisco, Oakland, Sacramento, my little town of Grass Valley, you can have chickens within the city limits. So, you know, all you need is a little backyard.
That's right. All you need is a little backyard. And if you have any questions, I remember looking up online cities that allow chickens in the backyard. And I got a whole list of major cities. So just, if you want to raise, if after you listen to all this, you want to raise chickens and you're not doing it yet, just call your city and ask if it's okay, if they have any ordinance about it.
Yeah. And make friends with your neighbors too. You know, if you promise not to have roosters that'll wake them up in the morning and give them free eggs, you know, then they probably won't have any problem with your chickens either.
Yeah, I think that that's true. So, but I want to say that I love having chickens. I absolutely love them. They do have wonderful personalities, and I've read that over and over, and they're just so calming to be with. And I would just, I have a chicken house. I still have my chicken house. It's just a little one that's like an A-frame. I think there's a name for it. I forgot what it is. But it's an A-frame, and it has a little chicken run in it and a little upstairs up near the top where they go.
Yeah, that sounds like mine.
Yeah. And so it doesn't take up very much room in the backyard, and you can move it around easily. And I just put it there on top of the grass, and I would just lie on the grass next to the chicken house, and I'd feed pieces of grass and things to them through the chicken wire. And I didn't want to let them out because I didn't want to have to run after them and catch them. Every morning I would go and, you know, I'd bring them their feed and I'd bring them their water, and I'd hand feed them weeds out of the garden, which they just loved. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had to keep them for about a month before they started laying eggs because of the age they were when I got them.
Mm-hmm.
But when that first egg came, oh my God, it was such a thrill because it was having that direct experience between actually feeding the chicken and then having the egg come out and eating the egg that I had raised was just a thrill.
Yeah, and it's similar to, you know, growing a tomato plant from a seed and you know, watering and caring for it and then finally getting your first tomato. Yeah, it's the same kind of satisfaction you get.
It is, but for me, it was somehow more wondrous because it was coming out of an animal instead of a plant that I had grown tomatoes and eaten tomatoes, you know. And then I got this egg, and it was like, oh, my God, it actually very direct, very, very direct experience. And they taste so much better than any eggs you've ever eaten.
Oh, yes, they do, especially if they're on pasture. Absolutely.
Yes. You know what? We need to go to break. And so we'll be back very soon. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and today we're talking about raising backyard chickens with Sarah Griffin Bubakar from Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and my guest today is Sarah Griffin Bubakar from Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply. They're at groworganic.com, and they're the largest organic gardening supply company in the United States, but they have a lot more than just gardening supplies. Sarah, tell us something about the history of this company, because I remember knowing about you and recommending Peaceful Valley many, many years ago, I think when it first started.
Yeah, we've been around since 1976. So, yeah, we started out in a little shed on Peaceful Valley Road, and just kind of as a cooperative amongst farmers, thinking, hey, we can pool our resources and buy a pallet of fertilizer rather than just one bag each and save money that way. And so that's how we started. And then we had a catalog for a really long time. People are really familiar with our catalog. I have a lot of people come in that want the catalog to use as a reference tool, mm-hmm. So that they can learn about organic gardening just through our catalog, because it has so much information about fertilizers and tools and pest control and all sorts of things. From there, of course, we have our website, groworganic.com, and it's very, again, has lots of information. We have a gardening forum and a blog, so any kind of gardening questions that you have are answered by that. We also do a weekly video where we have the topic of the week, which is usually something seasonal you should be doing in your gardening. They're about 3 to 4 minute videos that are really useful and fun, entertaining too.
Well, tell us, like, some of, just so that people have an idea of what's on your site, tell us about the broad variety of things that you carry. I mean, you have seeds and tools and things, but a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think part of what sets us apart is we really try to be only organic. And so that's really nice when you're looking, when you have a problem in your garden, or if you want to start a new garden and you know you want to do it organic, but you don't necessarily know what that means, you can go to our site and you can see all sorts of organic solutions for things, all sorts of organic products. So when it comes to fertilizers and pest control and tools and then our latest more recent additions to our line is a homesteading line of products. So if you want to, you have a beautiful garden and you have way too much food, and what are you going to do with it? So you can can it, you can make it into cheese, you can, process it in such a way using all of the tools in our homesteading line. It's really exciting.
Yeah, I was really excited to see that too, because you can grow your food, but then what are you going to do with it when you have this big abundance? And
right. So
you have things like canning supplies and dehydrators and cookbooks and juicers and baking supplies and food storage containers and beer brewing kits and wine making kits. And
it's amazing. Once you get into
kits,
anything you have in abundance.
Yeah, so your site really is all about food. It's really all about growing it, preserving it, cooking it, turning it into wonderful things to eat, just from ground to table. And it's a really excellent, excellent resource. I'm very happy to have you here. And you have a whole section on backyard chicken supplies, and I'm just going to that link. I put the link on toxicfreetalkradio.com,
oh, great.
So you can go right to that page as well as to your page. And there's just so many things you have, all the little supplies like the watering can and books about how to keep chicken and chicken feed and things to hold the feed. But let's see, do you sell chicken coops too?
Not at the moment, but we have in the past, and we're looking for a new supplier. So yeah, we will have coops in the future too. So pretty much everything you need to raise chickens.
I actually built my coop.
So did I, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the coop that we built was like $500. It was recommended by the woman who gave me the chickens. And I looked at that and I said, $500. I think we can build this. And we did. We just looked at the picture and built it. It was very easy. So that wasn't a problem. Okay. So before we talk about how to raise chickens, let's talk about why somebody would want to raise chickens.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're very easy. So they're one of the easiest and least expensive pets. So if you want them as a pet, you know, which would I think would be the second most reason why people would want to raise chickens. I think the first reason, of course, would be eggs.
And eggs, meat. Yes.
And after that would be just pets because they are really entertaining and rather beautiful pets. I know maybe people don't think of chickens as beautiful, but you just haven't seen the right chickens because a lot of them are really lovely. Yeah, and they have such diversity in their breeds and varieties. And so they're really easy. They take care of themselves mostly. And they're very inexpensive compared to, you know, any other pet. And again, the eggs that are fresh and they taste great and they have a higher nutritional value if you grow them yourself, especially because you know exactly what goes into that egg because you are providing the chicken with all the feed. When you have a commercially produced egg, you don't know.
You don't know. And let me just interrupt you for a second to tell the listeners some things that might be in given to those eggs. First of all, the feed is probably GMO raised. And they also have, and so if it's soy or corn or cottonseed, it's probably GMO. Also, additives that are put in, like amino acids, vitamins, and enzymes, could be GMO microorganisms. They also feed chickens that are laying eggs arsenic, antibiotics, and chickens that are not free-range. Usually, there's problems with salmonella in the eggs. It's not organic feed usually, so there's pesticide residues. And you also, just even if they're organic eggs, you don't really know what's going in them.
Right.
So we certainly want to have more control than that.
And also personally, I like to know that the food that I'm eating, especially when it comes from an animal, is grown with, you know, respect to the animal and that it's grown from a happy chicken. I do eat my chickens.
I
but
agree.
I know that when they've been living, when they're living with me, I know that they are treated with respect and they're healthy and living their lives as, you know, as chickens should live and not in a cage or something like that. So
yes.
I, personally, that's really important to me. And also, you know, there's also really useful things that chickens can do besides even lay eggs. They
And wait, before you go on, we need to, need to go to another break, so we'll talk about that when you come back. I want to mention that if you want to know more about what's going on with chickens and growing chickens and agriculture and what's in them, the Cornucopia Institute has a lot of information about this. So just Google Cornucopia Institute eggs. You can find out a lot about eggs and why you should do your own in the backyard. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dagg, and we'll be right back and talk more about backyard chickens. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Sarah Griffin Bubakar from Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply there at groworganic.com. And I interrupted you, Sarah, so go ahead with what you were going to say before the break.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I was just going to, you were asking me what the best, why you should raise chickens, what
right.
the reasons would be. And so other than eggs and just awesome pets that are great, they also provide chemical-free bug and weed control. So if you let them out into your pasture, they will eat every single bug and every single weed in no time. And then what they leave behind is the world's best fertilizer. You know, chicken manure is awesome and nutrient rich and great for the soil. So chickens will improve your yard and garden at the same time. So that's, I think that's a really good reason to raise chickens just in and of itself.
I want my chickens back.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I think that chickens are really great to have in your backyard and really useful. I also feed them all of my kitchen scraps. So I very little gets into my compost, but all of my kitchen scraps go straight to the chickens, and they gobble it up and they love it. And it's also kind of fun to see that, you know, what would have been wasted go straight into your food supply. You know, that goes straight into the chicken, which goes straight into the eggs, you know. And so
don't you think it's cool to just see the lettuce leaf going into the chicken and coming out as an egg?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it would have been wasted, or it would have gone into the compost pile.
Well, it would have gone into the compost. I mean, I'm never concerned about food waste because it always goes into my compost. But it's just this magical thing that happens. It's just, if you've never had that experience, it's just like, I wasn't raised on a farm, or, you know, we had guinea pigs. We didn't have chickens or anything like that when I was growing up.
And guinea pigs will do the same thing. They'll eat all your scraps, but you won't get out of it.
But they won't give you eggs.
Right.
They will give you more little guinea pigs.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's so many reasons to raise them, and they're really easy. Right now I have a flock of about 12 chickens in my backyard. I do live in a rural area, but I just have a small coop that I built myself, and it was really easy, and they enhance my life, I think. Yeah.
So tell us something about, like, go through the steps of how somebody would start off getting chickens. What do they need to do?
Okay, yeah. So the first thing you need to do is, of course, you need a place for them to be. So I mentioned your backyard is great. If they have, if your backyard is fenced, that's about all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be, you know, entirely enclosed unless you have a really heavy predators in your area. If you live in the city, you probably don't. Although dogs can be a predator, so you need to make sure that they're safe from that. Mm-hmm. Then you need a coop. And they need a place to be that's clean and dry and well ventilated, but also warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I have kind of what you were saying, like an A-frame with a run on the bottom. So that's nice. That works really well. There's lots of designs. We have a couple books on the art of the chicken coop, and you can make them really cute, you know, and build your own or buy them pre-made. They can be really a nice addition to your backyard, looks-wise even.
Yes, yes. There's some very, very attractive chicken coops. I wish I could have them in my backyard.
One day, you need to write to your city council.
I'm going to change this ordinance so that we can all have chickens here.
Right. So once you've got kind of the place for them to be, then you need to get the chickens. And you can get chickens as chicks or as chickens or as kind of in between the teenagers, which are called pullets. And, of course, the cheapest way to go is to get chicks. You can get them usually $2 to $3 at the feed store, or you can order them online and have them mailed to you. That's what I did this year.
Really?
It's kind of funny.
I didn't know that they could email chicks.
Oh, yeah. Not email, but mail.
I mean, mail chicks.
I got them from Murray McMurray Hatchery. And so when they're born, they have, you know, this energy stored from the yolk. And so they can go a couple of days without food or water. So that's the perfect opportunity. As soon as they're hatched, they ship them on out. So it's if you want to get the biggest, you know, if you have very specific varieties in mind and your local feed store doesn't have those, you can go to Murray McMurray. They have minimum orders, so you might want to share, you know, share chicks with the neighborhood. That's what I did this year because I think we had to get 30 or something like that. But then I shared them with a bunch of different people, so it was fine. And I got some really fancy chickens. There's all sorts of different breeds that you can get.
Do you get new chickens every year?
I do. We moved recently, and so I had to kind of revamp my flock. I have a couple that are older, and most of them are around the same age that I got this year. So I got them in April, and they're they're almost starting to lay. I get eggs every day because of the older chickens. So it's kind of nice to have a few different ages so that they, you know, I always have eggs. You know, while some are maturing, some are laying, and when those get too old, then my ones that are still maturing will still be laying. So, yeah.
So do you, if you get chicks, because I didn't get chicks, I got teenagers, the pullets.
Pullets,
if you get chicks, how long does it take before they start to lay?
Yeah, so it can take, like, between, say, 4 to 6 months. So it takes quite a while. It depends on the breed. Like I said, I got mine in April, and they're just, I'm really expecting them to start laying any day now.
Yeah, because we need to realize that a chick is like a baby.
Right.
That a baby wouldn't have a baby, you know.
Exactly.
A human baby wouldn't have a baby. And so
exactly. And so it's a little, you know, you have to have some patience.
Gets to the age and it would have a baby.
Right. And they grow so fast. I mean, especially if you're doing, of course, then also when you're trying to decide what kind of chickens to get, you need to decide what you want. Do you want layers so you can have eggs, or do you want broilers so you can have meat? And the broilers will mature in 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the breed. So if you're raising chickens for meat, then you need, you know, then that's a lot less of a time commitment for that.
Yeah.
And those breeds, you have specific breeds for meat and specific breeds for eggs, and then you have a few kind of dual purpose in between also. And so you can decide, you have to decide when you're going to get which kind of chicken. So the layers will mature much slower. They grow more slowly. But they're the ones that are going to give you the most eggs. And then the broilers are going to mature really quickly. You're going to see how those chicks grow way faster than your layers. And those you can butcher, like I said, 6 to 8 weeks.
We need to take another break, and we'll be right back with Sarah Griffin Bubakar from Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply there at groworganic.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Sarah Griffin Bubakar, retail store manager at Peaceful Valley Farm and Garden Supply, and they're at groworganic.com. Sarah, one of the things that I like so much about chickens and backyard eggs is that you really get to have a whole variety of different types of eggs that come from different types of chickens. And when you buy them at the store, you get white eggs and you get brown eggs. And when you get, but you can have different kinds of chickens that'll give you blue eggs and pink eggs and speckled eggs. And it just really is wonderful to, you know, find there's a blue egg.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I used to get my eggs when I lived in California. I used to get my eggs from a neighbor who had chickens, and I never knew what color the eggs were going to be. It was just wonderful. And I think this gives us more diversity, too, because we use so few species. It's like all the tomatoes are the same variety of tomatoes. All the carrots are the same variety of carrots. And when we grow things in our own backyard, we can grow so many different varieties of anything, not just eggs, but, you know, all the food that we eat can be unique varieties. When I was in California, I even got seeds from people who had made, like, they had saved their tomatoes and had local seeds for very specific to our little micro ecosystem. And those were the tomatoes that I grew.
And so when you're choosing what kind of chickens you want for your flock, you have these questions, you know, are they layers or are they broilers? And then, you know, the typical layer, which is, you know, it's the standard chicken that you produces the white eggs that you get in the grocery store. You don't necessarily want to get that kind.
What's the name of that kind? Do you know?
That one is a Plymouth Rock, I'm pretty sure. Wait, let me see.
And is it the one?
The Cornish Rock is the standard broiler that you eat. You would typically eat the cockerels. Those are the Cornish Rock, and the white leghorns are the most common egg layers. So they produce a white egg, and they're not very you know, genetically diverse, as you were saying. So they don't make the most exciting pets, for one thing. They're not as smart. If you really want to get some of the, you know, intelligent and fun chickens, I would recommend going with more of the heritage breeds. So yeah. that blue egg you were talking about, that would be an Americana chicken. Really cute chicken, real spunky, and good layers, real docile temperament, hardy to different climates, you know. The other kinds, you know, the more commercial breeds, they're just, you know, if you get a heat wave, they could just, you know, knock right off because they're really not adapted for that. A really nice chocolatey brown egg that I love is from a cuckoo marin. I have a couple of those, and they lay these beautiful dark brown speckled eggs that are just lovely, and the chickens themselves are more fun and more spunky and, you know, like I said, have more personality and also just more vitality.
Yeah.
So that's really good. I love the Wyandottes are a nice dual purpose breed. And they're beautiful. They have the most amazing coloring on their feathers. And there's lots of varieties within the Wyandottes themselves. So, you know, I recommend your listeners just to look through what the breeders have to offer and, you know, try a couple of each different kinds of chickens just to see which one you like the best, you know.
Also, that's very good advice. When I had chickens that year, we went to the Florida State Fair, and they have all these agricultural exhibits. I actually saw a calf being born at the State Fair.
Oh, cool.
But they had this huge room with all these different kinds of chickens, and of course people were coming from the 4-H with their chickens and getting awarded for the best eggs and all these things, and it was interesting to go and see. I had seen some of the chickens online, but then to actually go to the State Fair and see them in person, so to speak, you get an idea of what their personalities are like and how beautiful they are, and you just go, oh, I want one of those, or I want one of those.
Absolutely. Yeah, my son, he's 5, and he's doing 4-H this year and raising the chickens for 4-H.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. So the chickens are entirely his responsibility, with a little guidance from mom and dad.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, so as far as what to do, so once you've got your coop and once you've got your chicks, then you want to set up a chick brooder because you can't necessarily put them in the coop yet. It can't be drafty. It has to be really warm in there, but not too hot for the babies. They're the most sensitive, and that baby period is very short, you know, as it is with even humans, and so you don't have to worry about it too much. But they like it to be, you know, 90 to 95 degrees. For the first week of life. So it's nice and warm, and you can achieve that just with a heat lamp that's placed right. And they need to have access to food and water and clean bedding. That's really pretty easy to achieve. You want to give them chick crumbles, which is, you know, you can buy it as just a prepared feed. You don't have to make their own feed or anything like that. And have a chick waterer, so they're nice and small so they can reach it. The big chicken waterers, they can't necessarily reach at this point when they're tiny. And you also just want to watch them. You want to make sure that they're healthy and, you know, kind of make sure that there's nothing going on. I always check their cloacas that they don't get clogged, because that can kill a chick really fast. And play with them so that they get used to people. And they'll like you better when they're adults that way, and be more fun. And it doesn't take very long, so before you can move them into the coop, about 60 days, so it's not that long. And then you move them into the coop, and the rule of thumb is you want about 3 to 4 square feet per chicken inside your coop, and 10 square feet per chicken and an outside run. So in order to get those really delicious eggs, they need to eat something green. So pasturing them is a really good idea, although it's not necessary. You can just feed them feed You can start feeding them layer pellets when they're about as old as my chickens are, so like 4 to 6 months old. Then I start feeding them layer pellets. It has a higher calcium and a lower protein. Mm-hmm. So for that egg production, you want to start feeding them that. And one of my chickens' favorite times of day is the time where I feed them scratch, which is cracked corn. We have a nice non-GMO cracked corn.
Good.
Yeah, that I give them. And they love that. That's like a really good bonding time with the chickens. When I bring them the kitchen scraps and the cracked corn, it's like candy for them, so they just love it. And that's when they follow me around the yard and things like that, looking for that. And, yeah, you just want to make sure they always have water available. We have some really nice waterers that will stay clean. I like to hang them so that they don't, you know, sit in the dirt and get dirty. Mm-hmm. And we have an automatic waterer, which is really nice because the chicken water is one of the things my 5-year-old can't do. It's kind of heavy for him. So the automatic waterer is nice. And you want to make sure that they have good bedding. So the floor in the coop needs to stay clean. You don't want them to be, you know, you don't want their poop to get all over their feet and everything. So a nice bedding. I personally use organic rice hulls, and that makes a really nice bedding both for chicks and for chickens. And what's really great about that is when I clean out the coop, then I've got this beautiful soil amendment that's full of chicken mm-hmm. manure and rice hulls. And mm-hmm. so I put it into my compost for a few days, for about 30 days to fully compost, and then it's just brilliant to add to my heavy clay soil. It's perfect.
Yes, yes.
So that's really nice. And, yeah, so they're really easy and really sweet and really fun. And
Having my chickens, I had them for about a year, and it was one of the best garden experiences I've ever had. And I've grown vegetables, and I'm not currently growing anything, but I have in the past, and I will again. But just having those chickens, I mean, they really were like pets. It was wonderful. We have about a minute left. Is there any final concluding words you'd like to say?
Oh, well, just you know, just to check out our website and just to see what you can grow yourself, and just, you know, that whole sustainability aspect is like growing organically and growing chickens organically is a really good thing you can do just not only for your own family, but for the whole community at large too. You know, encouraging more people to have chickens. I mean, they just don't really cost that much, and, you know, the way that you'll get the fresh eggs is really worth it.
It really is. I totally agree with that. And you can also share them with your neighbors, as you said before, and just make it a community thing. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Sarah. And everybody should go to groworganic.com and take a look at your website. And you can, if you're looking for the backyard chicken supplies, you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. I have the link there. Or you can go, it's under the homestead tab on groworganic.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindak.